Merry Christmas to everybody. Today we're going to talk about celebrating the possibilities of God. We're going to celebrate the possibilities of God because I don't know about you, but sometimes we can get all wrapped up in the whole Christmas thing where you're worried about, oh, did I get the right gift? You know, are they going to like it? Did I get enough gifts? And blah, 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 and all this stuff. And we lose the moment of celebration. How many of y'all can say, I've been there and done that? Maybe you're doing it now, and so it's like, this is a good time to stop. Here, parents, here we go. Just go ahead and let's face this fact, okay? It's going to happen in my family, and it's probably going to happen to your family. Here's what's going to happen. You've worked hard, and you've done all you can to get the gifts that you think that Santa's going to bring, the gifts that you think is going to be great for those kids to have, and they're going to open up presents, and they're going to look at it, and then they're going to say, is this all? Or, well, how about, well, I asked for this, and Santa didn't bring me this. So go ahead and realize that even when you try to do your best, it's not going to be good enough. It's not about the stuff that we give each other. We're not celebrating a day. We're not celebrating a birthday. We're not celebrating a day. We are celebrating the person of Jesus Christ. We're not celebrating just a little baby, though if he did not come as a little baby, God would not have come down, so we got to celebrate that. But he didn't stay in the manger. How many of y'all know that? Huh? He didn't stay in the manger. We don't worship just a little baby Jesus in the manger. We worship a risen king, the king of all kings, the Lord of all lords, and that is why we are going to celebrate the possibilities of God. If you have your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, we're going to start with verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. This is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Elizabeth, she is pregnant. That was a miracle in and of itself. And here we have that there's an angel Gabriel. Gabriel is the messenger angel who stands in the presence of God. And when God says, I need you to go send a message, that's what he goes and he does. And so he goes to a place called Galilee. Now, we're going to be introduced to two characters in this story, two people that really existed, and their names are Joseph and Mary. Now, Joseph and Mary both have lineage back to King David. Now, the Herods had usurped the line of David, and they had become king. This is why King Herod, this is why he was getting so upset and so uncomfortable about this announcement of this birth, because there was a promise in the Old Testament there would be a king born, and this is what's happening. And God sends this message to a place called Galilee in Nazareth. Now, that doesn't mean probably much to you, and it doesn't make you think, you just like Galilee of Nazareth, right? But to a Jew, this was a despised place. They despised those in Galilee for their interaction with the Gentiles. They despised the city of Nazareth. And so this was like the most uncommon place that God could show up to do something miraculous. How many of y'all are glad that you don't have to be timber? We have trees falling in the forest. If a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, doesn't make a sound. Ponder. Anyway. We have what is known. How many of y'all are glad to know that you don't have to have the right name, you don't have to live in the right town, you don't have to live on the right side of the street, you don't have to have the right clothes. God can use uncommon people to do some impossible things. How many of y'all are glad of that today? That's called Christmas. Christmas today, and what I want you to take with you all throughout this week, is that we're going to celebrate the possibilities of who? God. Because here's what's going to happen. Because every time the world says that it's impossible, God says what? That it is possible. And so here we come to a town. It's not well known. It would be despised among the Jews. But God comes to this town, and he comes to this lady, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." That word favored one there means richly blessed. The angel says, "You are richly blessed, Mary. God is going to use you in a mighty way. But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." You have found favor with God. That's a powerful statement. That word favor means grace. You have found grace in the eyes of God. How many of y'all realize today that if it wasn't for the grace of God, you wouldn't be here today? Every good and perfect gift, the Bible says, comes from above. And so all the many blessings that we have in this life, all of the your relatives you have that you're blessed with, children you're blessed with, the home you're blessed with, that is God's favor on your life. It is God's blessing on you, and he ought to get the praise and glory for that. Amen? How many of y'all ever just sit and think about what all God has done for you? And all the blessings that he's done. And yeah, I know life's hard and life's difficult, but it could be worse. Right? Have you ever looked at it like that? Could be worse. And so you focus on what God has been doing in you. He's highly favored you. If you're a child of God, if you're a Christian today, guess what? His grace has been poured out on you. Merry Christmas. That's the greatest gift you'll ever receive. His grace has been poured out on you. And so he comes to Mary and he says, blessed are you. God's got his favor on you. He's shown grace on you. And he says, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. Now, Matthew explains to us what Jesus means. Jesus is the Lord saves. That's what it means, the Lord saves. In Matthew's account, it says, you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Merry Christmas. That's good news, isn't it? That he will save you from your sins. I think that's worth celebrating today, don't you? Huh? How many of you are glad that you're forgiven? That you can be forgiven of all your sins, and that you can be redeemed, and that you can have a relationship with God, that you can know God the Father through his Son by the Holy Spirit. That's good news today. I don't know about you, but if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd tell him what I'd be doing. I wouldn't be preaching, I know that. If it wasn't for the grace of God, some of you can look back at your life and you can say, whoa, man, my life would be totally different if it wasn't for God's saving grace. You see, what the world needs is a Savior because we're lost. Let me all realize that we are born sinners. That every one of us, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, there is none righteous, no, not one. We're all sinners. How many of y'all have children? Raise your hand if you had children. Now, how many of you all had to teach? Now, raise your hand if you had to do this, okay? How many of y'all had to teach your children, okay, to lie? Nobody. They just do it. It's like, did you hit your brother? Yeah, you know, right? What do we have to do to our children? We have to say, tell them thank you, right? Don't we have to teach our children to be nice? Because we're born with a sinful nature. Where'd that come from? Adam and Eve. They sinned, they were our first parents, and because they sinned, we all sinned. And because of that, we need a Savior. Guess what Christmas is all about? The Savior has come. Mary, you're going to have a child, and you're going to name him Jesus, which means the Lord saves. Why? Because he's going to save his people from their sin. Now today, if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you at the end of this service, give you an opportunity to accept that and to celebrate the saving grace of God. Today, you can be redeemed, forgiven, and set free and go to heaven. How's that sound? If you're a guest with us at Living Water Church, today. We thank you for being here today, and we love you enough that we want to tell you this. You don't have to die and go to hell. You can go to heaven in Jesus. How's that sound? Merry Christmas. That's good news. That's good news. You can be saved and redeemed and know Jesus. Why? Because God does, he makes the impossible what? Possible. We're celebrating today the possibilities of who? God. Look at him and say, we're going to celebrate the possibilities of God. Look at him and say that. We're going to celebrate the possibilities of God. We're going to celebrate his possibilities. So what goes on? Here we go. He will be what? Great. Say great. He'll be great. This is above all others. He is going to be great. He's going to be the number one. He is going to be above the number one. He is greatly above all things. He is to be great. Let's see what else is going on. And will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob. How long? Forever. And his kingdom will have no end. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, what kind of child? The Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. Merry Christmas. This is impossible. She's a virgin. How's she going to have a baby? This is impossible. But have I told you lately that this Christmas, we're going to celebrate the what? Possibilities of God. Now, what kind of baby is being born here? We see in here that he's great, that he's going to have the kingdom of his father David, and his kingdom's going to have what? No end. How many of y'all are glad to be a part of a kingdom that never ends? How many of y'all realize this world ends? How many of y'all realize this body gets old? This body wears down. It doesn't work like it used to. Some of you can say amen louder than others on that, right? But it's wearing down. But there is a kingdom that has no end. There is a kingdom that goes on forever and ever and ever. And that's the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And guess what? By his grace, by his favor, by his plan, I can be a part of that. And so can you. Isn't that good news? I get to celebrate the possibilities. He's great and he's holy. What makes Jesus so great and holy? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, I don't have these verses on the screen, but I'm just going to read them to you. Here's three facts about Jesus that make him great and holy. Okay, there's many more, but this is just three quick ones, okay? One is that he knew no sin. He knew no sin. In 2 Corinthians 5, 21, it says, he, the Father, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Merry Christmas. He knew no sin. He was sinless. And though he was sinless, he became sin on our behalf. Because guess what we are? We're sinners. And we need a Savior. But we need a perfect Savior. We need a Savior that has never sinned. And who is that, church? Jesus. He did no sin. Not only did he knew no sin, but he did no sin. In 1 Peter 2:22, it says, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. He walked this earth 33 years, and he did no sin. He was blameless. He was the perfect Lamb of God that was slain. In the Old Testament times, for once a year, they had a sacrifice and the priest would come and they had to have a spotless lamb, unblemished. Guess who that is? Jesus. He knew no sin, he did no sin, and he had no sin in him. In 1 John 3:5, it says, you know that he, Jesus, appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. So guess what he came to accomplish? To take away our sin. Merry Christmas. That's a great gift. What do you think? Something that would be impossible is made possible with who? With God. We're going to celebrate today the possibilities of who? God. What else does it say? Let's go on. And behold, he says in verse 36, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. Now look at verse 37. Let's all read this together. You ready? For nothing will be impossible with God. We're going to read that one more time. You ready? Here we go. Let's read. For nothing will be impossible with God. What are we celebrating, church, this year? We're going to celebrate the possibilities of who? God. There is a translation in this verse here. There's another translation of this that says it this way. For no word of God shall be void of power. For no word of God shall be void of power. Because when God speaks, he makes the impossible possible. Because we're celebrating today what? The possibilities of God. Now watch. So we know this fact. There is nothing impossible with God. And that for no word of God shall be void of power. Look at verse 38. And Mary said, what did she say? Behold the bondslave of the Lord. This is a female servant. She says, behold, I'm just a servant. May it be done to me according to what? Your word. And the angel departed from her. That's powerful. That, right here, these last two verses will change your life and change your Christmas if you'll let it. Okay? Note, for no word of God shall be void of what? Power. And a word comes to Mary, and word comes and says, this is what's going to happen. You're going to conceive a son. You're going to name him Jesus. He is going to forgive many from their sins. This is all sounding wonderful. It's all... She says that, behold, the bond slave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. I want you to write that word down. May it be done to me according to your word. Now, if you want God to move in your life and you want to celebrate the possibilities of God, it goes right here. It's not that we are to magnify Mary and worship Mary. Really, we need just to model what she did here. What did she do? What'd she do? Talk to me, church. I know I haven't jumped down yet and come and speak to you, but what did Mary do? She obeyed. Okay? Y'all ready? How many of y'all got your phones with you? They've been silenced, right? Did you like that little... Anyway, here we go. Ready? Get your phones out. You ready? Get your phones out. I want you to tweet this if you're on Twitter. Is that right? I'm getting myself mixed up. Put this on your Facebook line, whatever. Text us. You ready? Here's what I want you to get this word out right now. Get your phones out and tweet this. You ready? Here we go. The possibilities of God, or write this down if you don't, tweet, write it down. Write it down on your notes. Where do I write it on my notes? In our handy bulletin that we have now. Isn't that neat? Here we go. So write it down. Here we go. You ready? The possibilities of God, write this down. The possibilities of God are released through obedience to his powerful word. Write that down. Let that sink in. Let that meditate on this week. Okay? Say it one more time. The possibilities of God are released through obedience to his powerful word. If you want to experience not just this Christmas, but the rest of the new year, this is kind of highlighting. Some of you got these cards. It said Mission Possible. In January, we're going to start a series called Mission Possible, that there are that we're going to live in 2013. I know that 13 is an unlucky number, but here's what I'm going to declare to Living Water Church. It's going to be the luckiest number all year long. We're going to see amazing things happen in 2013. What do you think? Because I'm believing and I want to live in the possibilities of God. I want to see amazing things happen. And how does that happen? It comes through obedience. It comes through obedience. It's when God's word says to do this, that's what you do. When he speaks to you and gives you a vision or gives you a mission or gives you a heart to do something, you go follow that. What Mary did, she received a word from God. She didn't fully comprehend it. She didn't fully understand it. But she said, may it be done to me according to your word. Not her word, not her thoughts, but his thoughts. And when we obey his word, you will unleash the possibilities of God in your life. Okay? Merry Christmas. That'll change your life. I'm glad that we got a church that is unlike a lot of churches. There's a lot of great churches here. There's a lot of great churches worldwide. Okay? But I love this church, and I love you all. And I love that you have the vision to see the impossible become possible. Today we get to worship in an area that really didn't seem possible. And when I was asked to look at this building, my first thought when I first looked at this building was like, But then when I stepped inside, God began to stir in my heart. He began speaking to me, and I began seeing what could be. I thought, wow, man, there are some awesome possibilities. Saturday night, last night, because we set out on a journey to leave Grassy Lick, move here, there was a Hispanic church that had opening day last night in their building. They already packed the place out. It was exciting. I was there. They asked me to come. They did some remodeling in there. They now have a platform about as high as our platform in there. And that's where the pastors get to sit. So I get to sit on the big stage, and I was up there, and there was about 100 people out there. And they sang. And they sang. And they sang. And they sang. I was there for 3 hours. They had a three-hour service. We were standing up, sitting down, standing up, sitting down. I'd been to one Catholic wedding. I thought maybe I didn't know what I was at, but they were singing with their heart and soul. I didn't understand a thing they said, but I understood everything that went on because the Spirit of God was full in that place, and they were excited, and they were rejoicing. Because they got a house to worship in, a place to call home, a place to invite their lost friends, family there. I'm telling you, church, this next coming year, I want to encourage you. I'm challenging myself this. I want to challenge all of us this way. Let's live in the possibilities of God. God has blessed us with this facility. We haven't even fully fit up half of this building yet. I wonder what the possibilities of God are for outreach, where we can be a blessing to this community, where there can be ways that we use this facility. This is just a place to be used. And what is it? What is it that God's going to do here? I have no idea. But I can't wait. What do you think? Because I know he's going to lay some things on your all's hearts. He's going to put some vision in your soul. And man, I'm just going to take this year in 2013. And man, we're just going to see what God wants to do. Some of you need some possibilities to break forth in your own family. Maybe you're going through family struggles. Maybe you're going through whatever it might be. Maybe some of you've lost a job or whatever. Or maybe you're looking at potential things. You think, man, it seems like that it's gonna that my life looks impossible. I want you to know this one truth: when you obey God's word, you will unleash the possibilities of God in your life. When it seems impossible, to know this: with God, all things are what? Possible. Some of you, this is a sad moment. It's a great moment in Christmas time, but it's also a sad moment because there's going to be some loved ones that were there with you, but they're not there with you this year. And you're going to hurt for a moment, and there's going to be some pain, there's going to be some sadness. But know this: they're with the Lord dancing in heaven now, Hank. There are no worries, no fears with her, are there? And she's dancing in glory. Now, he's going to use you to do some mighty things. You've got talents and gifts and abilities, man, that he wants to do some great things in your life. All through this place, we could just start looking, and we just start pointing people out and saying, man, there's so much potential in what God wants to do in your life that it's unbelievable. Seeing the gifts and the talents that he's given you with. And all this is realized how? Through obedience to his word. You want to release the impossible things and make them possible in your life? How do you do it? Obey his word. Look at your neighbor and say, obey his word. Obey his word. Because the power comes where? Through his word. Here would be what I would like to say and end us with. And I think our praise team is around here somewhere. I'm going to ask them to come and get us ready for invitation. Here's what I want to ask you to do. I'm going to hop down off this thing. I want all of us to live in the possibilities of God this year. Mary said this, what? What does she say? May it be done to me according to your word. Could you pray that simple prayer? Could that be your prayer for this year? Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Whatever you want me to say, I'll say. I'm yours. I'm going to follow you. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And as we have our invitation time, here's one thing. That if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, guess what he's going to do? He's going to call you today. He's going to say, I have given my son. God's going to say, I have given my very best. I have given my son. He died on a cross. He rose again. Come. And if you would like to receive forgiveness of your sin and a new life in Christ, then come today and receive this greatest gift. If some of you just need to come and pray and say, we just need to pray as a family. I need to pray for someone else in my family. Come, let's make this altar time a time of prayer.